Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas, or am I?
I don't know. You're dressed like Julie Douglas, so you must be Julie Douglas.
I do have my Julie Douglas uniform on today. It's true.
Describe the Julie Douglas uniform.
It's pretty boring, actually. It's usually like monochrome. You know, I've got some dark jeans on with a dark top.
Yeah.
And some dark shoes.
Kind of like a German sensibility, I think.
Okay, I'll go with that. Yeah, it's a little austere.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Robert Lamb? What sort of role are you taking on here with your clothes?
Well, I tend to favor, of course, as anyone has noticed from the videos that we put out, since you may wonder, wow, Robert Lamb seems to have like three things that he wears. And this is true. I tend to gravitate around blue jeans, a t-shirt of some kind, and then a hoodie of some kind. Of which, and then these things will gradually wear out, and I'll get replacements. And so, at any given point, I'll have like two or three versions of the same shirt or the same hoodie. It's kind of the pattern I've been in. But I love the hoodie because my thing with it is that on one level, it feels kind of monastic. You know, I kind of feel like I'm in the name of the rose. And therefore, when I come into work and I sit down at my desk and I get out some books and pull up some studies on the laptop, I can sync up my hoodie here, and I feel kind of like I'm a monk engaged in serious focused study. And then there's also the fact that I can kind of zip up the hoodie and it's like it hugs me, and I get this like tight feeling like I'm tightly contained, and therefore maybe even more focused on what I'm working on.
You know, when you say it's like your study hoodie, I always think about Natalie from The Facts of Life.
Yeah.
She had like a special outfit that she would wear, including a hoodie, I believe.
Yeah.
She studied. So yeah, I mean, it's true that you put on certain clothes to feel a certain way, to act a certain way, and that is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to zone in on this, but we're also going to talk about something called embodied cognition, which is this idea that there's lots of stuff that influences the way that we behave, the way that our mind processes information.
Yeah, it's one of these areas where, on the surface of things, we all know that the way you dress changes the way you carry yourself, the way you feel about yourself. But when you actually look at it and you examine it and you take it out and you take some distance on it and sort of move the concept around in your hand a little bit, you realize how strange and wonderful it really is.
It is. And embodied cognition and clothed cognition, what we're talking about today, these are two fairly new fields of thought in terms of how humans behave. Behavioral psychology is something that has been, you know, particularly in the 70s, a very big field of study. Mm-hmm. And that's a theory of learning based upon the idea that all behaviors are acquired through conditioning, right? Yes. Cognitive psychology, which has probably been more of the reigning field as of late, and this is concerned with internal mental states as well as how people acquire, process, and store information. And that also delves into neuroscience and linguistics in order to explain human behavior.
Yeah, and the whole thing kind of treads the mind-body problem as well a little bit when we talk about, well, what am I? Am I brain? Am I body? And what is this interplay between mind and body? And how does it all factor into who and what I am?
Well, that's what I like about embodied cognition. Again, this newer field, because it does take into account this idea of acquired behaviors or behaviors that are pretty much moved along by how we process information. But it also has this idea of, like, what if we are all just a bunch of paper dolls performing the role of whatever paper outfit we stick on for that day? Now, that's pretty reductionist, and there's more to it than that, mm-hmm. of course. But it's more of this idea of we're all walking around in these physical cages we put over ourselves and all the trappings that go along with it. And this does inform our mental states and how we operate in the world.
Now, one of the concepts we're dealing here is positive contagion. And this refers to the belief of a transference of beneficial properties between animate persons and objects to previously neutral objects. Now, we've talked about this concept a bit in the past in mm-hmm. reference to lucky charms, magical objects.
Yeah.
The idea that that an object that belonged to a person that is now dead is somehow on varying levels, either on an overt level, like you can look at a watch and be like, the spirit of my father is in this watch, or it may be a very sort of almost subconscious thing where you end up aspiring a lot of meaning to the watch, even if you don't actually believe it has some sort of magical power to it or some sort of actual spiritual resonance.
Yeah, but that does kind of, there's a bit of a voodoo-ness
yes,
about it, right?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. That you feel. A good example of this is the study Putting Like a Pro, The Role of Positive Contagion in Golf Performance and Perception. And in that study, what was found is that people who believe that they were using the professional golfer's putter perceived the size of golf holes to be larger than they actually were. And they had a better performance, and they sunk more putts because they thought they were harnessing this magic of the pro's equipment.
Yeah, they had the professional equipment, and then therefore, and I love how the study boils down to the fact that they actually saw the hole as bigger. It's not just a matter of, oh, well, they had better equipment, and then they were a little, you know, boosted up ego-wise, and they performed a little better. They were a little more confident. But no, they actually saw the hole as bigger. And again, this is one of those studies that really drives home something that I think we already know. You already hear a lot of people say, well, you know, if you want to be a professional about something, you know, make sure you have the right equipment, because that's going to make the difference, and you're going to feel more confident in your abilities if you actually buy confident tools.
Right, you're going to feel prepared
yeah.
and ready to take the task on. And what I like about that positive contagion is it's a nice little entryway into this idea of embodied cognition, because these embodiment theories are trying to understand the mind as a set of physical processes derived throughout the brain in the body of a human, ultimately serving his or her actions in the physical world.
That study also reminds me of a little bit of Holy Scripture I'm going to read here for you.
Bring it on.
When the Starbelly children went out to play ball, could a plain belly get in the game? Not at all. You could only play ball if your bellies had stars, and the plain belly children had none upon theirs.
That was one of my favorite books as
yes,
a child.
Yes, Starbelly Sneetches by Dr. Seuss.
And that
or
is,
Sneetches, rather.
Is a great example of how people can sometimes behave depending on how they're branded
yeah.
or how they brand themselves.
Are they branded with the star or are they branded without the star? And it is. That's a fabulous fabulous children's book that really boils down a lot of the ridiculousness of human culture and how we work. But you can easily apply it to some of the topics we're discussing here today.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that when we get to enclosed cognition, but I wanted to point out something called the Embodiment Lab at Barnard College at Columbia University. And what they say is that in the lab, they explore hypotheses that flow from the assumption that the mind exists to serve the body. And it says several implications of this philosophical stance that have guided our research are, one, that it is not only true that the mind can influence the body, but the body can influence the mind. Two, when we think or feel, our mental representations will be directly related to perception and action. Mm-hmm. And three, that studying the perceptual and motor functions of various thoughts, feelings, and brain states can help us to understand why, when, and how they come about. Okay, so that's all good and well. That's sort of like the philosophical basis of this, but let's put some rubber to the road here. What we're talking about are these studies that have to do with, this is the classic one, let's say a warm cup of coffee versus an iced coffee, and how it might actually make someone think, their cognitive process. And we've brought this up before, but I wanted to bring this up again. This is this idea of warm drink, warm feelings. Yale psychologists Williams and Barg found that when they let participants hold this warm cup, the participants judged others to be more sociable. And this is a characteristic of personality dimension warm, right? So further, when participants briefly had a warm pack on their necks, they themselves became more generous. And other acts of kindness that they studied in that. But
which is why you should always bring a cup of coffee to someone if you're about to ask them something difficult, right?
Yeah, and maybe even if you're going into a job interview, right?
Yeah. Bring in some coffee, bring in a warm pack to put on your future boss's neck.
That won't be creepy at all.
No.
You'll get the job.
Yeah. Yeah, another really interesting aspect of this is the hand washing zone. Now, there's an excellent book on this title, Clean, A History of Personal Hygiene and Purity by Virginia Smith, that I recommend to everyone. I think I may have touted it here on the podcast before. But one of the core arguments in this book is that, not even an argument, it's just an analysis, that throughout human history, we have this idea of hygiene, and then we have these other ideas of spiritual purity, moral purity, pure thoughts, etc., and these become intertwined as we evolve and as human culture builds up, you know, like detritus, and until we really have difficulty separating one idea from the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, the sort of like positive contagion, or actually a negative contagion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like there are plenty of examples of something that has been, for instance, at our house, we were out of tinfoil, so I had to cover the cat's wet food with a little piece of cellophane, and then I secured the cellophane around it with one of my wife's hair ties. And so the hair tie was not touching cat food at all. But I realized that in doing this, I might not be actually defiling the hair tile. It wasn't made impure in any kind of physical sense, but there was a spiritual contamination of it by being that close to ground up animal parts. And therefore could never be used on hair again.
I was about to say, I totally get that, because I don't even like a hairbrush to be on my kitchen countertop. Mm-hmm. It kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, and we talk about this in terms of water purification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this whole, everything that needs to be purified for human consumption has to be purified in the real, but also in the imagined realm of purity.
Well, not only does this purity come into play when you think about hand washing, but there's something called the clean slate effect. And Spike W.S. Lee and Norbert Schwartz of the University of Michigan asked subjects to rank top 10 CDs they'd like to own from a list of 30.
Okay.
And then they chose to keep either their fifth or their sixth ranked disc. Okay, so this is where they introduce, like, oh, which one should I have? Okay.
Because you're not really touching those top picks. How many did they have to pick? 30?
No, out of 30, they had to do their top 10,
top
but then
10,
they
okay.
could keep their fifth or sixth.
Okay.
Okay, so therein lies the problem here, because it's not the bottom of the 10, it's not the top pick, right? So presumably there's some sort of, like, consternation involved with this.
Yeah.
So what they have them do is they have the subjects evaluate some hand soap. Some just stared at it while others used it, okay? And now the subjects who didn't use the soap ranked their chosen CD about two places higher than the one they didn't pick. So they elevated it. And this is the cognitive dissonance that some of us sometimes have when we're trying to make decisions, right?
Just thinking about the soap, not even using, just the idea of soap. The soap is a symbol working on the human mind.
Exactly. So so those who didn't get to wash their hands, basically, they increased their value on their chosen option. And again, that's the cognitive dissonance. You're going to double down in the face of adversity. And those who wash their hands, the relative rankings of the two CDs remained about the same, and their angst, they say, according to this, was erased. Okay, now, they did this again with jam. They had, the participants had to choose between two different jams. There always used to be jams in these kind of
studies. Yeah, I think we've either hit on this jam study or another jam study before.
Okay, so instead of washing their hands, we're talking about hand wipes. Considering the hand wipes or using the hand wipes. And again, those people who use the hand wipes, they came back and they had a much more pragmatic perspective about the jam. They didn't overrate their experiences with the jams, whereas those people who didn't get to wash their hands didn't have that clean slate effect and kind of be able to wash away their consternation.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the whole idea of like taking a shower to cleanse the soul as well as the body. That fresh slate effect where you're like, all right, I'm all new. I'm good.
Well, have you ever done that before when you're trying to turn something around in your mind, trying to get another perspective on it? And you're like, you know what? Nothing's working here. I'm at a stop. I'm just going to take a shower.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you come out on the other side of that shower with new ideas or a new perspective.
Yeah. I think I do some of my best thinking in the shower in the morning.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm assuming you. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I take too long. I like because I'm just standing there, hot water hitting me in the face. Ideas are running. And it's a good time.
And your wife is like, hey, man, you're running up the bill.
Well, you know, there's also something to be said because it's before I have the coffee. And we've talked about, in the past about how the coffee focuses the mind, but it cuts down on that unhinged random thinking that's a hallmark of creativity. So I'm having the shower before I have my coffee. So that's also like I'm at my freshest then. And I also haven't taken any coffee to rein in the wild stallions of my imagination. I don't know why they're stallions. They're really probably more like muskrats. The wild muskrats of mine.
I think I preferred stallions.
Stallions is a little overdoing it. Even I'm going to be realistic about my creative abilities.
I know, but it's got a nice, like, 70s shiny sheen to it.
Like a hand mural.
All right, so let's stop talking about stallions and showers. Let's get to clipboards, because
yes.
I love clipboards. And I think at every job I've ever had, I have kiddingly walked around with a clipboard to pretend like I was doing something.
It makes you, really does make you feel like you're doing something. I still have my clipboard from when I was in newspapers here, and I just use it for mundane purposes now, like holding papers onto a board. But back then, I remembered it was almost like a scepter. Like if I had the clipboard, I felt like, yes, I am in control because I have this thing, and there are papers on it and everything.
Well, papers on it and everything turns out to be important, but more important in some of these studies is the actual weight of the thing itself.
Yes.
And it turns out that weight is really important and that people will think about their own self-importance and gauge other aspects of the world in conjunction with this weight.
Yeah, we were looking at a study where people holding a clipboard that was weighted so as to be heavier overestimated the value of foreign currencies. By indicating how many euros they believe they would need to pay exchange currencies.
Yeah, and now they were given these clipboards, the participants in this study, and they were told to fill things out. Okay, so they had an activity. They weren't just holding an empty clipboard.
Yeah, they weren't like, hold this and tell me what you think about the euros. No.
Yeah, and they had no idea whether or not theirs was heavier or lighter than other people in the study. And this was, by the way, published in Psychological Science. Dr. Jossman and his colleagues, Daniel Lakens and Thomas W. Schubert, explored this idea about the body conflating weight and importance. And they were also asked to consider different countries and their leadership. And then again, those people who had heavier clipboards, and they really deliberated a lot more than the people who had lighter clipboards, and they thought that their opinion was more sought out than their light clipboard counterparts.
Wow. So, you know, in our previous episode, we talked about symbols and the power of symbols and how they affect our minds as we're just taking them in the course of our day. And then in the form of the clipboard, in the form of the coffee cup, we are talking about symbols that we actually take into our hand and, in a sense, make a part of our body.
Yeah.
And therefore, we wrap ourselves in the trappings of the symbol.
It's true, right? Yeah, this is, we're saying all the sort of trappings that we put around us, that we hold, that we imbue with some sort of value, that gets taken up into our brains and informs the way that we actually cogitate. So it's pretty cool stuff. Now, we should probably take a break, and when we get back, we are going to talk about this idea of paper dolls.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back, and we're about to get into enclosed cognition. You know, when I was telling Holly Fry of History Stuff what we were doing today, she just went, oh, yeah, of course. RuPaul has a thing on that.
RuPaul has a thing on that.
RuPaul is her spirit animal, by the way. Yeah, or her spirit guide. I shouldn't say animal. Her spirit guide. And she said that... He says everybody is born naked and everything else is drag.
Well, you know, modern cultural sociologists describe the human body as an unfinished body, a body created by nature but finished by humans. And so each of us calls up on various bodies, various times throughout our lives. It's kind of like the idea of the cyborg, you know, where we're all cyborgs because we're all using technology, we're wearing it, or it's in our body, or it's some part of us. And clothing is a part of us as well. The human body is born unfinished. We finish it with our clothing and technology, and that is the version of ourselves that we see.
Well, and that's the idea of this, the paper dolls, that we just kind of put on these different outfits, and then we perform whatever aspects of it that we are subconsciously or consciously thinking about in terms of how we move around in the world.
Well, it's like a Barbie doll, right? I mean, like there's the naked Barbie doll that is just like flung around in a bathtub,
mm-hmm.
but then there are the outfits that transform Barbie and all of these other people. Astronaut Barbie.
Yeah, wasn't there a Mars Curiosity
Rover Barbie?
Something that recently came out. But you know what? She still looks like Barbie, I have to say. And we've talked about her weird dimensions, and this is why,
oh, yes.
Right? Because she would topple over if you actually fully formed Barbie with her current dimensions.
Would she topple over on Mars, though?
Good question.
That's a question for another day.
Very good question. All right. So the best example of enclothed cognition, because there are not many examples, by the way. This is, again, a fairly new field of study.
Studied examples. I mean, we can sit here and sort of rattle out.
Anecdotally, yeah. All day long. But I wanted to point out three studies by Adam D. Galinsky. He is a professor at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. And he presented his information in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology in 2012.
They coined the term enclothed cognition.
They did. And by the way, Galinsky got the idea for this from watching The Simpsons, the TV show.
Really? Max Power?
No. Well, I don't know which episode title it was, but basically he was watching kids, all the kids at school, and they were outside, and they were made to wear these gray uniforms. And they were very subdued and calm. And then it began to rain, and all of the dye came off the uniforms, and these rainbow colors emerged from their clothes, and the kids went berserk.
Huh.
And he said, I started thinking about the clothes you wear and the meaning behind those clothes. If you put on a black t-shirt, you become more aggressive. You put on a nurse's uniform, you become more helpful. And then he crafted these three studies having to do with a lab coat.
Huh. Well, again, it comes down to the idea that all of these things have symbolic meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the lab coat carries a lot of symbolic meaning. You look at someone in a lab coat, maybe holding a clipboard or some sort of medical instrument as well.
Yeah.
There may be other symbols that are combining to create this kind of hyper sigil. But there's the idea that this is a person who's highly educated.
Mm-hmm.
This is a person that I should trust
mm-hmm.
on some level.
Careful.
That is careful.
Attentive.
Attentive. That is clean. And we've discussed that one before, though. That there's kind of ups and downs on that one.
Right.
That's clean and that it is going to potentially save me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is all embodied in this lab coat, which Galinsky and the researchers used in these three studies. Now, what Galinsky also wanted to really hone in on is this idea of our attention and how we direct it. Because mm-hmm. as we have talked about before, directed attention is a scarce and finite mental resource. And we have talked about it in the context of ego depletion and different ways of trying to game that, the attention span that we have. So, what they did is they in one of the studies, they used something called a Stroop test. Now, this is how they ferret out people's ability to perform on a concentration task while assuming or subconsciously assuming these identities, mm-hmm. in this case, the lab coat. So if you look at a Stroop task, it's fairly easy, straightforward, because it's a very visual task. You're asked to identify, or I should say it's very easy and straightforward to understand what you're
right.
being asked to do, but it's not easy to do for your mind. You're asked to identify the color of the word represented in front of you on a screen. The problem is that the word says red, but the letters that spell it out are blue.
Ah.
And your brain goes, what? So what your brain has to then do is suss out the meaning versus the visual representation. And as a result, there's a fairly high error rate here. So it's a great way of trying to gauge someone's engagement or attention span.
Huh. Well, you know, this test reminds me of the awesome internet video, Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. it's sort of like a children's show, and they're singing about creativity, and then it gets a little dark, and they agree never to be creative again. But there's the part where they're talking about, well, how do you engage creativity? How do you act creatively? And how do you think creatively? And the lead character of the singing little notebook says one thing that you can do is you can get a collection of sticks and leaves and spell out your favorite color, which is, in a sense, you're using green to spell out something like red.
Yes, I believe they do this to children.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Stroop Tusk with that exact video.
Huh.
And then they get to the part where their void just takes them all down.
Well, but
and children start crying.
It is interesting. The one character spells green with the green and brown sticks and all, and that is ruled not a creative color. And in a sense, it isn't a creative color because it's playing right into the dictation of the test. So maybe there's more to that part of the video than I gave it credit previously.
It's possible. It's possible. But it's a great example of how your mind is having to try to make sense of the visual representation as opposed to the word representation.
Right.
And I really do think they should do that with five-year-olds and then watch their brains melt. I did want to point out, though, that this was the centerpiece of the first experiment in which 58 undergraduates were randomly assigned to wear a white lab coat or street clothes. And those who wore the white lab coats made about half as many errors on incongruent trials as those who wore regular clothes on the Stroop test. That's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, half as many just by wearing the coat. In the second experiment, 74 students were randomly assigned to one of three options: wearing a doctor's coat, wearing a painter's coat, which, by the way, was the same coat as the doctor's coat. They just called it a painter's coat.
Yeah.
Or seeing a doctor's coat. And then they were given a test for sustained attention. And they had to look at two very similar pictures side by side on a screen and spot four minor differences, writing them down as quickly as possible. So those who wore the doctor's coat, they found more differences than those who were wearing the same coat that was called the painter's coat, or those who were just wearing street clothes. Now, the third experiment had students either wear the doctor's coat or the painter's coat, and they were told to notice a doctor's lab coat displayed on the desk in front of them for a long period of time. And all three groups had to write essays about their thoughts on the coats, and then they were tested again for attention. And it turns out this group that wore the doctor's coat, they showed the greatest improvement in attention.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So, what does this mean? It means that they were embodying this cognition of what it is to be a doctor and these ideals of being attentive, of being well educated, of being on point.
Yeah, you step into the symbol, you take it on yourself, and you then appear as that symbol, and then you are thinking as that symbol as well. You're taking on the guise of the doctor, even if you're not actually thinking, hey, I'm wearing a doctor's coat now, I bet I can go in there and perform surgery.
Well, and this is what is interesting about this study, is that it begins to question, like, what other aspects of our culture are bringing up these ideas and having us fall in line? So you think about police uniforms or inmate uniforms.
Yeah, the inmate uniform sends the signal that you are just like everyone else. You are just a number. And also, you're going to stand out if you escape from here.
You're stripped of your identity, right? Like, not only are you taken from the rights that you had as someone out in the outside world who could cook whatever you wanted for breakfast, go wherever you wanted, now you're on the inside, and you can't even express yourself as an individual. Someone who is a police officer, you know, he or she has these colors, these darker, very serious colors.
Yeah, that like a gleaming badge and all.
Yeah, the gleaming badge meant to enforce this idea of, security and order. And then there are nuns.
Yes.
How do you explain nuns?
Well, in what sense? In the sense of the uniform? I mean, in the habit? Well, you do get a sense of darkness and light, a very, very somber outfit that's masking a lot of the body and creating this sort of penguin-like demeanor.
And they're veiled. They are brides of Jesus, right?
Exactly. Brides of Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, brides of Christ. So, again, all this stuff going on to sort of, operate as these underpinnings of how we perceive the world and how we move around in it.
I feel like all of these symbols, though, there's also a counter interpretation of the symbol. Like the cop's uniform, for many people, becomes a symbol of tyranny and abuse of power. The symbol of the doctor can also become a symbol of bad news, a symbol of being taken advantage of, or certainly a symbol of privilege, too. And privileged power.
Yeah, I was thinking about this in terms of Dr. Leo Spaceman.
Oh, yes. Spajamin? Dr. Leo Spajamin?
Spajamin.
Yeah.
From 30 Rock, who is the ridiculous doctor who shouldn't at all be a doctor, but he's wearing the coat at all times, and then he's spewing nonsense, and everybody just sort of goes, oh, okay, thank
you,
doctor.
He looks like a doctor, and he has a nice speaking voice, even though everything he's saying is complete garbage.
Complete garbage, and I think that they're making some sort of comment on that, like just put a doctor's lab coat on someone, and immediately they have authority on all things.
Now, a more relatable thing that I think we can all point to in our own life. Like, what do you feel like when you dress up fancy? Do you ever fancy yourself up?
Awkward. Like, heels are the devil's stilts.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, you're not wearing the heels, but do you ever feel like you ever dress fancy and feel fancy in any way? Like, is there ever a positive connotation to that?
I don't know. I mean, I just don't dress fancy that often. So, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable in my skin. So if I decide to put something fancy on, it's fine. But it's not, I don't go around like pretending like I've got a really long like cigarette holder or anything.
Okay. Well, how about this? What do you wear when you go to yoga? Do you have a special special garments that you wear just for yoga?
A long velvet dress.
No. No, but seriously.
My Stevie Nicks dress.
But you do have like yoga pants or something?
Yes.
Okay. So when you wear the yoga pants, even before you go to yoga, or if you're wearing them when you're not going to yoga, do you find yourself sort of entering the mindset of one who goes to yoga?
I feel stretchy, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel flexible. I'm more open to people. I don't know. I might be.
Well, because I kind of feel that way. I feel
you
like
do.
If I'm wearing yoga pants, even if I'm not going to yoga, I do feel a little more relaxed. I think it wears off of me.
You know, I always remember my dad coming home from work and coming home from his, like, very serious suit. I mean, we're talking about a vest with his suit and suspenders, all the accoutrements of business life. And shedding that as soon as he came home, taking a shower, and then coming out in all of his, like, you know, cotton leisure wear, I guess you call it. And it was so funny because it was that transformation from day to evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there is a bit of that role playing going on.
Yeah. Cool. Well, like I say, we could sit here and rattle off possible examples of this all day long about how we wear something different makes us, like what happens when you wear, ceremonial dark robes with pentagrams on them. You feel a little more in touch with occult phenomena and the secrets and mysteries of life.
It may be. I'm going to have to try that out and see.
Well, think about the next time you dress up for an occult ritual.
Well, I wanted to just swing this little ditty by everybody. This is from the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy about embodied cognition. It says, quote, "The genuine insight about the nature of consciousness that embodied cognitive science has generated is that the character of visual experience results from the way we are dynamically hooked up to the world. Sensorimotor coupling with the environment is crucial in providing the organism with the proprioceptive kinesthetic feedback necessary for the senses of ownership and movement. When we touch an object, for example, we do not exclusively have experience of it, but while touching and being touched, we experience ourselves moving, including the feeling of controlling our own body in action. The account of that agency, the sense of controlling one's body, originates in processes that evolve for interaction with the environment, that is, mechanisms for sensory processing and motor control, suggest that embodied experience underpins self-awareness." And I thought about that in the context of the lab coat. If you feel the texture and the weight of that clothing, that you begin to transform it into your actual motor skills, your cognitive skills, and truly embody it.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, it just comes down to this fact that we are, that clothing are, the clothing makes the man, as they say, you know?
Yeah.
The clothing is a part of who we are and how we interface with the world. Now, one quick example we forgot to mention is Halloween. If you're dressing up for Halloween, to what extent do we end up taking on the mental image of the thing that we are dressing up as? Like, what were you for Halloween most recently?
I really don't like to dress up for Halloween, but and I think it's because most of my costumes have been a failure. But last time it was a 50s housewife with like a fake turkey and barbiturates.
Oh, well, that's pretty
good. That
was
strapped to me.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. You?
Well, at some point recently I dressed up as a cop. Because this was several years ago, but my wife and I dressed up as the main characters from Raising Arizona.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but
I'm glad that
I was not. No, she was a cop. Sorry. She was a cop, and I was a bank robber with a panty on my head. Stocking, you know.
Okay.
So I guess, you know, when I dressed up as that character, I kind of had to feel a little bit like that character. So I felt good-natured and maybe a little goofy and
suffocated.
Yeah, and suffocated and prone to, robbing liquor stores.
And a new appreciation for pantyhose and the trials and tribulations of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, some food for thought as we move into this fall season and we encounter Halloween pretty soon.
Yeah, keep all this in mind as you dress up for costume parties, as you dress up for your daily life, because we'd love to hear about you. Is there a uniform that you have to wear, be it an official uniform or sort of an unofficial uniform? Because, I remember when I was working in newspapers, the unofficial uniform I had to wear was this, like, awful khaki pants, like the kind that balloon up in the crotch whenever you sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Those are awful. And but it became a part of how I felt about myself while I was working there. So what kind of uniform do you wear? What kind of uniform are you forced to wear? And then what kind of clothing do you wear to change the way you feel about yourself? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us at all the normal places. Go to our main website. That's the best place, stufftoblowyourmind.com. Everything else streams off from there. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Tumblr. But stufftoblowyourmind.com, that's the mothership.
Yeah, and you can find our videos on stufftoblowyourmind.com, too. So check those out. And make sure to drop us a line. You can do that at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.